What's up, people? Welcome to the Black Comic Creators Podcast, a show where we talk to Black comic creators and Black manga creators and get to know more about their creative process, about their work, and just their overall business. So I'm Brandon Calloway, your host, and I'm also the writer and creator of Black Spartans Manga. Let's get to it. All right, people. So we are back with another episode of Black Comic Creators. We got Tyrone here from Zero Snake Media. What's up, man? Tell people who you are, what you do, and what you're about.
Hey, man. Salute. I say thank you, Brandon, for having me on. As you said, my name is Tyrone, also known as the animator and artist Zero Snake. So I do a number of things. Chiefly, I'm an animator. And I have a graphic novel out right now that we're going to be talking about called Unrivaled. So glad to be here and chefing it up with you, man, as a fellow manga creator.
Yeah. Tell them about Unrivaled. What is it about?
Right. So Unrivaled is a remix on the Monkey King legend, Monkey King folklore. So we see concepts like a Monkey King, names like Son Goku and Son Wukong appear. But I try to do it in a way that I never seen done before in anime or manga. So first off, the manga takes place in West Africa, right? So that already makes this challenge what we think or we expect manga to be, right? The second thing is I wanted to remove all magic and, you know, coming back from the dead and plot armor and stuff like that, because I wanted to create a series that was high tension and high risk through and through, mm-hmm. where main characters can and do die. And when that happens, the whole world can be thrown on top of his head. Right. And another reason why I want to do that is to differentiate myself from all the various Monkey King, you know, kind of manga and pop culture that is out there.
Right.
We always see tons of plot armor coming back from the dead, magic, immortality. These are all things that's connected to the traditional Chinese folklore. Mm-hmm. So in Unrivaled, not to get too long-winded, I wanted to take all that away and replace it with a more authentic martial arts feel to it. Yeah.
That's what's up. That's what's up. It's a really dope series. And right from the beginning, you know, you get a great amount of action, you get a great understanding of, you know, who the main character is and his personality and all of that. So I mean, I will say, you know, I read a lot of indie stuff, and you know, Unrivaled is absolutely very well written.
Thank you, man. Appreciate
so, it. for real. So on that note, man, Have you, is this your first project? Like, were you a writer for other things before? You know, how'd you get into this?
Yeah, so my backstory is that I'm a self-taught animator. I started learning the ropes towards the end of like elementary school. Mm-hmm. So then like middle school, I like got better and better. And then by the time I got in high school, I started taking my projects a bit more serious, started working in things like Flash. And one of my first like manga projects that I put out on the internet was called AIM. Mm-hmm. And I had that on a website called Smack Jeeves. It was a popular web hosting site back in the day. And that got a lot of love. So I decided that I would make an animated version of that. And I got about like a mini-sode, probably about like 8 to 10 minutes per mini-sode. Mm-hmm. And then I got almost done with the third one. And then I kind of switched gears to focus more on Unrivaled. Yeah. So
Oh man, I think you froze.
Help me hone my craft.
Oh, there you go.
along with a whole slew of like animated shorts. Like I would just post it on sites like Newgrounds, you know.
Yeah, that's what's up. You froze on me there for a second, so I lost you.
Okay, I don't mind repeating it. You mind?
Yeah. And so you were saying that you really switched gears and started focusing on Unrivaled.
Let me see.
All right, I got you back now.
All right, yeah, I'm so sorry about that. I have no idea what that was. Can you hear me?
Yep, it's all good, all good.
All right, so yeah, I don't mind running back if you...
No, you were saying that you had switched gears from the other project that you was on and then really started focusing on Unrivaled.
Right, exactly, yeah. Yeah, initially Unrivaled started off as a one-shot, like, you know, for a manga contest, mm-hmm. and I found out about the contest like last minute. I only had like 2 weeks to do it. And so for the one shot, I wanted to make the first two chapters in 2 weeks. So I did that, sent it in, and I didn't get chosen. But at the same time, the first two chapters wasn't the first two chapters that we know now.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, I had time to go back and, you know, touch up the art and like, you know, redo some of the pages for the fight scene. As you mentioned, it starts off kind of strong.
Yeah.
Because by the time I finished the ninth chapter and I reread it, I felt as if, you know, I could have did more for the first two. So that's the one that we got now.
Cool. Yeah. Cool. What made you go the manga route rather than, you know, traditional, you know, superhero comics?
Well, I've always been a fan of like the anime aesthetic growing up, like in the 90s, any kind of retro anime, I was pretty much on it, even just for the aesthetic alone. But on top of that, as I compared Western comics to, you know, Eastern comics, I seen that like Japanese manga, we got stories that we really weren't used to.
Mm-hmm. You know?
The box was a lot wider, you know, and for a whole spectrum of just different kind of storytelling, and I think that even to this modern day, when you compare what's going on in the comic industry right now, when we compare their sales to manga, we see that majority of graphic novel sales are in anime and manga titles, because you know people are just hungry for something different.
Yeah. I mean, I. It's no secret. I love that, you know, anime and manga style right. story. It just, to me, it feels more, it's cohesive, it flows. Right. And there's a simple logistical part of it, of like, you don't have to wonder where to start. Like Batman won, like which Batman won, right? Like,
exactly. Yes. Yeah. That's a whole nother thing.
Right.
As an artist and someone who writes, you know, we can appreciate, like, you know, the one or two mangakas or, you know, authors mm-hmm. more, as opposed to be like, okay, you're like a Superman fan. He's like, okay, now for which series, which artist, and which writer, you know?
Right. Yeah. So do you got any inspirations, or were there any anime that kind of inspired just either the story, the look, the feel of Unrivaled?
Yeah, definitely. Okay, for Unrivaled specifically,
mm-hmm.
Definitely. First off, we gotta get a Dragon Ball. You know what I'm saying? Pay his props. I am definitely a fan of Dragon Balls, raised on Dragon Ball.
That's what's up, man. People hate on it because it's so big, and you know, it's always cool.
Yeah.
But you know,
yeah, so like,
realistically, and everybody can hate it because everybody's seen it. Like, you saw it for a reason.
Right, exactly. So you know, like Dragon Ball inspired me in different ways. Like when I was working on AIM is more of a special powers, like flying through the air kind of mm-hmm. animation. But with Unrivaled, the way that Dragon Ball inspired me is like if you look at the older Dragon Ball like movies and OVAs where people fight, and even episodes people fight and they actually get scratched up and, you know, bruised, and it's like high tension, right? And when you look at Akira Toriyama, how he paced his panels for the original manga, it just flows so perfectly. Like, you know, there's a lot to be appreciative there. Mm-hmm. But yes, so, you know, Dragon Ball aside, because it's not only that, I mentioned Berserk is one of my favorite mangas. So the possibility that the world could go downhill or things could go to a bad, to a worse scenario, I really enjoyed that from Berserk. And then we have rest in peace, Kentaro Miura, definitely. We got Vagabond from Takehiko Inoue, which tells the tale of Masashi Miyamoto, the famous samurai.
Mm-hmm.
Super inspired by that. I remember reading that. It was around the time, well, it was the time where I was like training heavily into martial arts and, you know, just studying swords. So I connected with that one on like a spiritual level.
Yeah. That's what's up.
And then if I could just name one more, it's like a hidden gem, is called Shamo. Really good fight scenes, and the storytelling is just raw, really raw and you know, dirty. So yeah.
Yeah, that's what's up. So some real diverse inspirations that really fueled, it sounds like more than just Unrivaled, kind of fueled all of the stuff that you do.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely.
Well, cool. So talk to me a little bit about when you did make that shift to Unrivaled, you know, you entered into the the manga competition for the one shot, didn't right. the competition, but you decided to go head on and
right.
do it anyway. What was your process like of actually, you know, going on that journey and putting out a physical book? Because there's no blueprint. There's no blueprint about how to do it.
No.
How'd you go about it? How'd you go about finding an artist?
Excellent question, man. So I sent in the one shot that was like really like quickly done. And I just went back to my animation, which was AIM episode 3. I mentioned that it got far, but I didn't release the third.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it looks like we froze up again a little bit.
You know, because I wanted to end it off like open-ended. Right, like, more journeys could have happened. Yeah, so, let me know if they're having audio problems again.
Yeah. So you froze up again a little bit. You said that you had got to the third one, but didn't put it all the way out. It sounded like you was motivated to continue that after.
We're using a different laptop. I don't know why it's like derping out.
Yeah, I can hear you now. You good?
Yeah. I just took a pause because I seen it was getting choppy.
Cool. Yeah, you said that you would you got to the third one. You got to the third aim. Didn't put it all the way out.
Right.
Sounds like that motivated you to keep going.
Right. So I felt like the way I ended it intentionally was that it could be open ended, and I just felt like there was so much more to it. And at the time, I was animating AIM. And I was putting it out just for the culture. Like, you know, I wasn't really like selling it. I wasn't like really doing like anything, really marketing. And I'm just like thinking to myself, a physical book would be easier to push. You know what I'm saying? People like to read. So after that 1 year, I picked up and I continued with the third chapter of Unrivaled, and it's been on ever since. So yeah.
That's what's up. So do you do all your own art too?
Yeah.
That's what's up.
Thanks, man.
Yeah. Cool. So, you know, you talked about putting out AIM for the culture, and you know, Unrivaled is based in, you know, you said it's based in Africa, right?
Right. Yeah, what's happening?
Yeah. And so you know, I want to hear your take on you know, representation when it comes to really when it, I mean, we talk about anime and manga, so let's stick there, you know.
Right. Yeah.
Because there's conversations, right? That's what we call it, conversations about, you know, oh, if it ain't from Japan, if it ain't straight from Japan, then it's not manga. But we want more Black representation in manga. You know, do we represent ourselves? Do we, you know, expect them to be able to represent us authentically? How do you feel about representation in anime and manga? All right, I think we froze again.
Right. That's another good one. Again, if the audio is messing up at any point, again, let me know. Cool. I'll run it back. Cool. But all right, so here's my thing. When somebody mentions that, like, if it's not made in Japan, then it's not anime or manga. You know, I can understand the sentiment at first, but when you really think about it, it doesn't make that much sense. Like, when you compare it, okay, right? Manga and anime is a art form, is an aesthetic, right? Art style, similar to expressionistic art, right?
Right.
So if we look at classical artwork, or I'm saying contemporary artwork, and we see, you know, masters of expressionistic art like Picasso's, right? And let's say somebody in China created an expressionistic art piece, would it not still be expressionistic art? And answer would be, yeah, it is, it's the same art style, it's the same genre, right? So despite the origin, the art style can be that, you know? As far as representation in anime and manga, we could definitely see that there's a hunger for it. And why I say that is because, you know, if you go on Instagram daily and we see characters who traditionally or originally Japanese or another culture drawn over in like a Black rendition, right? So there's definitely a hunger to see that happen. My thing is, I think it's important for us to, like, you know, it's okay to appreciate the art, but let's not just be carbon copies. You know what I'm saying? Like, let's not just make, okay, now we're going to make a black character and his backstory is going to be Japanese. It's like, you know, we're losing something in translation there. Mm-hmm. So it's cool. Like, you know, world history is something that I'm big on. I did a lot for Unrivaled. You know what I'm saying? So it's cool to say, okay, like in the case of Unrivaled, it takes place in West Africa. But that's not to say that we don't see Asian characters involved in the story. It's just that somehow, some way, they made their way over to West Africa because they heard of the renown going on and they wanted to test their own skills against this. You know what I mean?
Yeah. That's what's up, man. That's what's
Thank you, man.
You know, like, and I definitely feel you on all of that. And especially when it comes to, you know, the idea that manga or anime is only manga or anime if it's made in a certain place, because like the shonen genre is distinct. And you know, that kind of storytelling, like if you pick that up and you tell it in a Western way, I mean, it still lends itself to being, I mean, it's still a shonen. Like a shonen is very specific in the elements that go into that. And so yeah, I feel like people are being argumentative just for the sake of
it. Yeah.
But that's
That's what's up, man. How'd you go about building up your audience when you said you switched from the animation, decided it would be a great idea to start putting out physical books? Did you already have an audience from AIM? How'd you build that up?
Yeah, so my audience trickled over from a lot of places. A lot of my fans have been around for like 10 years for like the AIM part of things. Again, back when I was like more active on sites like Newgrounds, when Newgrounds were more popular there. I had other YouTube channels that were, you know, some people came from before ZeroSnake.com. There was a ZeroSnake.net. So some people were still around from there.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, in recent years from Instagram now. And but I would say, hands down, the greatest way for me to like make fans would just be like in-person events. Before doing conventions, I was doing smaller like art fairs and stuff like that, like, you know, around town, doing workshops, even if they were free, like just volunteer workshops around local libraries and stuff. Because my thing was, growing up, I wanted to learn how to make animation. I knew very early on that I wanted to be an animator. As I didn't have no one around to teach me. And I remember how frustrating that feeling was. So I wanted to make it a part of my business. And we actually did, it's just like media, that we always stay connected with our community and like do workshops, even if it's for free, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Be that bridge.
Yeah. That's what's up, man. That's what's up. I got that sparked a couple of questions from me. And the first one, I feel like I should have asked it a while ago. Where did the name come from? ZeroSnake.
Okay, so that's that's a funny one. So in high school, me and my friends call ourselves the Zeros. So there's a zero, I'm the zero snake, there's a zero eagle, zero fox, zero mantis, zero ox, panther, so on and so forth. And our thing
that was deep.
We was deep. And you know, I was always an artist, but our thing was like training, you know what I'm saying? We were big on hand to hand. We're big on like we had Boken or wooden swords, and we would just be swinging full force with no protective gear. But it was hard to play. But you know, those bonds just always stuck. You know what I mean? Especially that experience of like, you know, training, and that's where a strong desire with Unrivaled came in.
Yeah,
and I want to make it more based on like stuff that people could kind of actually do, as opposed to like someone doing like 1,000 front flips and just jumping in the air and landing like a perfect kick on someone. I'm like, come on, man. You know, I'm a fan of like UFC and MMA in general.
Yeah,
so
yeah, yeah.
I just want to choreograph that more.
Cool. Are any of them still are they in the game with you? Are they part of your team? Still?
Yes. Yeah. So you know, so we older now. We can't go around just fighting like how we did. We get arrested.
But crown on that.
Yeah, exactly. But nah, man. We still around. They actually integrated now into ZeroSnake Media. So like if we're at conventions and stuff, there's a big chance that one or two members is there with me. And you know, they always been mass supportive. Even with the AIM in older projects, it would be me and, well, it would be them and I all in the room, like, you know, my room at the time, we were all around the microphone, and we just all voice acting. You know, we had a couple of characters from like online auditions, but for the most part, my team was always there, and they always have been. So
yeah. That's what's up, man. That's what's up. And so, with you being an animator, and you know, I see you got the animation going in the background.
Yeah.
Are you is the goal to turn Unrivaled into a full on anime? What's your timeline or what's your steps?
Yeah,
making that happen.
Okay, that's another good one. This year, well, Unrivaled's been out officially, so public for a year, But in that time, in addition to reaching out to the public through cons and crowdfunding, we also been busy looking at funding and grants and like that. So depending on the resource, depends on the length and the scope of the project. So within the first year, well, within a year or two, I definitely want to have at least a pilot animation out, which is about a couple of minutes, right? You know what I'm saying? If we get better funding, then I want to put out like, you know, an OVA of like around, you know, half hour, 22 minutes. And if we get even more funding, you're saying like, you know, then we go for a 90 minute kind of, you know, special.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of like background work talking to, you know what I'm saying, gathering all the animators up, make sure the pieces is right.
Yeah. 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 And I know that stuff. Like that's just, it's expensive when you get deep into it.
Yeah. Facts.
But I couldn't do this whole interview with you without asking about the shoes, right? Because you on the Black Sands app? I'm on the Black Sands app, and I was scrolling through a little forum on there, and I think I saw somebody on there talking about, oh man, Unrivaled is dope, but those shoes is dope too. It's like because you got are they air like what kind of shoes are they Air Forces?
So I'm actually looking up this like I think I got a pair either right there or downstairs, but for the it's actually two different designs out right now. The original one is like a traditional, like a classic basketball high top. I know I got the box, at least the box, right? Let me see something real quick. All right, so there you go. I got a box right here, and the actual shoes are downstairs. They still weigh. But the actual box came designed by me, and you kind of see the shoe right there. It's like a classic, you know, basketball high top for the first design. And the second design features a different character, again, illustrated by me. And that one's more of a fitness and running shoe. So,
yeah. So what was it that got you to do, you know, because you sell your shoes, right? Like
I do. Yeah.
You know, and so I mean, not only are you an animator and you got your own manga and you're putting it out there, but you know, like people put out merch with their stuff all the time, but they usually go, you know, shirts and you know, hoodies and stuff like that. But you took it to another level. You went shoes. So why shoes?
So I went to route of shoes because I just got tired of people just asking me to customize their Air Force Ones. They always like, you draw on site. You should draw on this. I'm like, man, or you could go on my website, order my official sneakers, you know?
Exactly.
So, yeah, man. I'm saying, and always like designing clothes. So if you go on Zersink.com, you see backpacks, jackets. You know, I try to just cover the spectrum if I can, if it looks right. You know what I mean?
That's what's up. I feel like it's a unique part of, you know, your brand that really stands out.
Thank you, man.
You know, so cool. Where can people? You got anything else coming up? Like you got any Kickstarters coming up or just any other projects in the works?
Well, currently working on Unrivaled Volume 2. Mm-hmm. So I want to make a little bit more progress in there, but then towards the end, I am going to perhaps do another Kickstarter just for like the first chapter or two, just get those out to people, because the way Volume 1 ended is on a strong cliffhanger. Mm-hmm. So I know people just really want to know what happens next. So,
right.
So right now, a big thing is our Patreon, where people could just get pages as released one by one. That's like the best way to show support for the project right now. And that's pretty much the only thing I could really announce right now. Other than that, is like
that's what's up.
Like premature ideas.
That's what's up, man. Where can people go to find, where can they find you on social media? What's your website? All of that.
Sure. Yeah, so the website, now first off, is zerosnake.com. Anywhere from that, you can follow me on Instagram, check out my stuff at zerosnake.media. And I have a Twitter as well, as a artist, zerosnake. I'm not as active on there, but you can definitely get in contact with me that way.
Yeah, and then the Patreon, how they find
you? Oh, yeah. So, and thanks, man. I appreciate that. So the Patreon is Patreon forward Unrivaled.
Yeah. Cool. Well, that's what's up, man. That's all the questions that I got. I appreciate you
coming. I appreciate you having me on, man. Really.
Yeah. People need to know about it. Unrivaled is out. Whole volume one is dope. If you ain't read it, go cop it. At the very least, check it out on the Black Sands app. Right. Check out Black Spartans on the Black Sands app too.
Definitely do that. Definitely check out Black Spartans.
Yeah. But get a physical copy of that Unrivaled. Cool, man. Well, I appreciate you coming on, man.
Absolutely, man. Thanks again for having me, man. Real talk.
All right, so that does it for this week's episode. Hopefully you found a new story or creator to follow, or got some kind of helpful tips or information out of this episode in general. Make sure you subscribe to the podcast. We got new episodes coming every Friday. If you happen to be interested in learning a little bit more about my own project, Black Spartans Manga, make sure you head over to blackspartansmanga.com or check me out on Facebook or Instagram at Black Spartans Manga. Like I said, subscribe. We got new episodes coming every Friday. Really great creators coming on. Really excited about it. Don't want to miss it. All right. Holla at y'all next week. Peace.